So just like Elizabeth was a proclaimer of hope to Mary, who really needed it because her life had turned upside down, you can be a proclaimer of hope to a world that has also really been turned upside down. So if you want to be a proclaimer of hope, think about what brings you the most joy when it comes to your Christian faith.
Welcome to Apologetics Simplified, a podcast about Christianity, theology, and culture. Hit subscribe to be notified of each new episode. And now, here's your hosts, Leah Chapman and Andrew Foster.
Welcome back to Apologetics Simplified. We are so glad that you are listening to us talk about things.
Yeah, we are.
And this is exciting, too, because we're in the same room right now.
This is rare.
Very rare. Oh, yeah. So you're here.
I am here. It's Thanksgiving. I'm here in the great state of Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, most people, they think, like, let's take holidays off, but we're actually together on holidays. And we're like, ooh, let's do extra work.
Mm-hmm. Precisely. Like, we can get so much stuff done. And, you know, the cool thing with, with the being a holiday and all, you know, we're in Texas, so we don't typically do a traditional Thanksgiving meal. As you know, everybody likes their turkey, and, you know, I guess turkey's pretty good and all. However, we're not big fans of that. And we're in Texas, so we're having barbecue.
We are having barbecue. And this isn't like a normal Texas tradition. It's just what I want to do because I want to do it. And my whole family's like, great, we'd rather have barbecue than turkey anyway. So it works out. Well, we are not going to talk about barbecue all day.
We're not.
No, sorry. In fact, this is going to be structured a little bit differently than what you're used to if you're used to listening to this podcast. For Advent, we are going to be releasing 3 Advent mini episodes through the end of the year. And as a reminder, we are now every other week. That is, as permanent as things get. I mean, the change to weekly was permanent for 2 years, and now this is permanent for however long.
Permanent for the time being.
For the foreseeable future, except for the beginning of the year when we're taking some time off entirely. But anyway, yes, 3 mini Advent episodes, no segments, just talking about Advent, and our focus is going to be about hope. And if your name is Hope, we're not talking about you. Mm-hmm. We're talking about
We do, however, hope you enjoy listening.
We do. So we like the verse in 1 Peter 3 that talks about giving a reason for the hope that you have.
What? You mean apologists like the verse about giving a reason for the hope that you have?
I know, it's shocking, but it's true. Now, in your Advent wreath, if you do that at your church, you'll notice that one of the 4 or 5 candles, if we're including the Christ candles, is hope. I think last time we went around the Advent wreath.
Rocking around the Advent wreath. Yes.
That's how that goes. But we're just going to be focusing on hope for all 3 episodes. And we're going to be doing that through talking about the women of Christmas. So what is this hope that we have? And where did it come from? Where did it start? Now, I would say it probably started before Jesus became human. Probably started way back when God created the plan of redemption. But this is a good starting place. Especially, because it's Advent. So today we are going to start walking through Luke 1 and 2. And we're just going to go in chronological-ish order.
Chronological-ish.
In order of appearance. We get Elizabeth first, and that's who we're talking about today. And then we're going to be talking about Mary. And then we will be talking about Anna the prophetess. And we are talking primarily about these women, but they also have important men in their lives who will certainly play a role in our series as well. Now, what I think kind of ties these people together is that they were all involved in ushering in hope in a hopeless time in Israel.
Yes, it was coming out of a rather hopeless time. If you open your Bibles, if you have a physical Bible, you will probably notice in most copies between the Old and New Testaments, there is a blank page. That seems awfully quick from our perspective. However, it was 400 years. And I remember seeing this illustrated really well. It was at a concert by Keith and Kristen Getty. It was their Christmas concert. They kind of structured it based on a lessons and carol service. They had David Platt giving the lessons. And one of them, he was talking about the character of Simeon, who we'll be talking about in a later episode. But really this long anticipation, this long 400-year period where there was no prophecy. They heard nothing from God. And to illustrate this, I believe it was he read the end of Malachi and then added on. And then there was just a pause for a full 60 seconds, to which he closed with, for 400 years.
So good.
And that got the point across. These people were desperate to hear from God. They were desperate for hope.
That's so good. And I think all of these people we're talking about today are in that same position of waiting. And maybe some of them had given up hope, but they were still doing what they were supposed to do. Some of them being faithful people like Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah, who was a priest. Like, they were still doing the things they were supposed to do, but they probably had given up some hope that things would ever change. They were under this Roman occupation. They were pretty oppressed. They were heavily taxed. Like, it wasn't easy, but things do change. So I mentioned we're going to be looking through Luke 1 and 2. Elizabeth and Zechariah sort of are sprinkled between the stories of Mary and Joseph as well, but we're just going to focus on Elizabeth. And instead of just reading straight through it, we're going to summarize it in a way that only we can. Now, I do encourage you to read Luke 1 and 2 on your own, especially sometime this season, because it's wonderful and you won't regret it. I probably read it 3 or 4 times this morning as I was trying to think through how I wanted these episodes to go. And every time I read it, I pick up on something new. So I definitely encourage you to read it, but we are just going to summarize it. So we're going to be summarizing various parts of Luke 1, again, in a way that's just so fitting for us. So the first person we meet is Zechariah, who is a priest, and his wife, Elizabeth, who they also point out is a descendant of Aaron. So they're both very priestly.
Descendant of Aaron.
Jeez. If you don't get that reference, then I don't know, Google it.
And you're very holy and consume only the purest of entertainment. Yes. Congratulations.
Yes. Anyway, we have Elizabeth, Zechariah, a priest and a descendant of Aaron. These people are very priestly. And they said that they were righteous in the sight of God. And one of my quick asides is usually in the Bible, we get some kind of misfit people that God's like, you, I'm going to use you. But in Luke 1 and 2, we get a lot of like, this person pleased God, and so we picked them. And I do think that's kind of neat that in the Father choosing the parents to God the Son, he chose people who were special. Not that that was Elizabeth and Zechariah, of course, but those are people around him, people who raised John. Like, he chose special people to raise these people. Anyway, so Zechariah was on duty. He was at work, just like he normally does, because he's a priest. And he just happened to be chosen to go into the temple to burn incense. It was just kind of happened. And when the time came, he went in, and then suddenly there was an angel.
Oh,
I bet that's exactly what happened.
It was not terrifying at all, right?
It does not say he was gripped with fear. No. Yes, verse 12. Gripped with fear and startled. Like, fudge. This is also an aside. We've been doing a lot of house projects, and she is gripped with fear and startled at every loud noise. But anyway, the angel said to him, don't be afraid. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, who, by the way, is barren and old and therefore should not have a child, will be bearing you a son, and you're going to call him John. And it's going to be great. We're going to do great things through him. And it's just going to be so good. You're welcome for this great news. To which Zechariah says, this sounds a little unbelievable.
Could I see your source on this?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. This sounds like fake news to me, because in case you didn't notice, we're both old. And the angel says to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. There's your source. And I have been sent to speak to you to tell you this good news. And this is a quote, verse 19 and 20. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time. So basically, Gabriel, through the power of God, put Zechariah in time out for 9 months to think about what he had done.
I'm going to give you some good time just to yourself and your thoughts, because you're not going to be able to actually say anything.
Yeah. So, and he does. It's when we do see him speak again or hear him speak again.
Lesson learned.
It seems like he's learned a lot. So Elizabeth is amazed at this. And during this time period, Gabriel also appears to Mary, who we're going to talk about next time. So after Mary's heard her news, she goes to visit her cousin, Elizabeth, who two people having miraculous births, because you shouldn't be able to have a baby when you're old, nor when you're a virgin. These things don't happen.
Without God.
Yes, exactly. So Mary gets to Elizabeth's house, and at this point, Mary's been kind of on the fence. She was completely willing to be used by God, but we don't see any exuberance from Mary yet. But when Elizabeth sees her, she's freaking out, happy. Apparently her child is jumping for joy within her, and just her overwhelming joy and encouragement that she gives to Mary just completely changes. It seems to change Mary's outlook, and we'll talk about Mary next time. But
do you have experience with the child jumping for joy, and is it a pleasant experience for the mother?
I don't know, because this wasn't exactly a miraculous birth. I mean, some people argue any birth is miraculous, but I have felt her stretching and trying to make more room, which I'm like, there's no more room, kid.
Need a bigger apartment.
Yeah. It's time to move out. It's not yet. Not yet. Stay in there. You know, I do like feeling her move as long as she's staying away from my bladder. So far, she stayed away from my ribs, but I don't know how long that'll last. So we get to the end of Elizabeth's gestational period, and she does give birth. And everybody is like, obviously, you're going to name him Zechariah because that's his father's name, and that's what you do. And she's like, no, his name's John. And they're like,
well, I'm not sure a woman can quite make that decision. Let's see what your husband has to write.
Yeah, so he is probably like, he finds something to write on. He wrote, his name is John. And then that act of faith, it says it opened, his mouth was open and his tongue was set free, and he began to speak, praising God. And then the very next thing he did was prophesy. So that's what we've got going on here. We have two women really, but we're talking about Elizabeth. So a woman who should not be able to get pregnant, getting pregnant, her husband who should have had more faith, not having faith and having to think about it for 9 months.
The whole experience was like a nice little ignition. It's like, oh, it seems God can do what he says he can, because I can't say anything.
Yes. And I don't think, I said God's putting him in time out, and maybe he was. I don't think this was some form of cruel punishment, but was a time for him to really reflect on what was going on before he was about to father one of the most important people in all of history. Now, we think that if an angel shows up to you, I mean, you can pretty much believe it. Mm-hmm. But we've also talked about various other world religions and heresies that have involved special revelation from a supposed angel that we did not think was biblical. So a quick apologetic here. Gabriel and I believe other angels showed up to a lot of people. This was not a small thing. This was the talk of the town. Everyone was posting it about it on Facebook. They're like, people from these women, Mary and Elizabeth, to these shepherds, to everybody who saw Zechariah go into the temple being able to speak and come out not being able to speak. This was not like a quiet thing. This was not some sort of small Gnostic revelation.
Yeah, think about it this way. At that first Christmas, the angels were really busy. They were kind of like our modern-day delivery drivers. As you know, you'll see, during this time of year, USPS, they rent like Penske trucks because they need more stuff delivered. They got to go all over the place, and these angels, they're in their Penske trucks and delivering the good news to everyone.
Would it be like Heaven Prime?
Oh. Next day delivery, except there was that like case in Daniel. Your package is experiencing a delay. Some spiritual warfare going on here.
Yeah, you know, just little things. Yeah, so there was a lot going on. The angels, the proclaiming angels were quite busy making sure everybody knew what was going on. So the reason I say very easily that if an angel shows up to you, you can believe it is really if you're in a situation like this where there's angels and revelation showing up everywhere. that's a good sign. Now, what I like about Elizabeth and why I'm calling her the proclaimer of hope, because in some ways her son is really the proclaimer of hope. He was a predecessor. He was like a second Elijah, and he led the way. He made the way in the wilderness. Isn't that the expression? Yeah. But the reason I'm also calling her a proclaimer of hope is because she encouraged the person that was to raise Jesus. Mary being so young and a virgin, and like what I can tell you as a first time mom to be, there's a lot of like, how am I supposed to do this? I can't imagine adding on the stress of like, how am I supposed to raise God? is there actually anything I can do? What if I mess up?
Can you imagine like Jesus's younger siblings?
Oh my gosh.
What it was like, James, why did you do this? Why can't you just be more like Jesus?
Jesus.
He's just a perfect child.
Come on, get it right. No wonder he didn't believe for a while. But with Elizabeth, she helped to encourage Mary, who was to raise God's son. And so they both sort of served like a predecessor role, I guess, to their kids, where Elizabeth encouraged her and gave Mary what she needed to feel like, not just that she could do this, not like a girl power, girl boss kind of thing, but that like God was with her. And that she had reason to rejoice. And even though she was probably also ridiculed in the talk of the town, that someday people would call her blessed. Now, the question is, how can you be a proclaimer of hope? You're not going to birth John. You could have a child named John. I don't know. But like John the Baptist, who laid the way for Jesus. And you're probably not going to experience a more truly miraculous conception and birth. But how can you be a proclaimer of hope? And what this made us think about was evangelism.
Yeah. So as we've talked about a few times on this podcast, apologetics and evangelism really do go hand in hand. Remember, it's not about winning arguments. It's about winning souls. If we win the argument, totally alienate the person, well, I would consider that a failure. But the truth is, we have an incredible message of hope. That's what we believe, is that we messed up real bad, and we deserve punishment, and God gave us a way out. That's a lot of hope, and that's something our world really needs, hope. So how selfish would we have to be to keep that to ourselves? And I know it's not comfortable to go up to people and be like, hey, let's talk about Jesus. But so often God calls us to the uncomfortable. I don't think Elizabeth was comfortable the entire time. Zachariah certainly was not comfortable. Jesus was not comfortable his entire life, especially towards the end. So God doesn't call us to comfort, but as we see from Zachariah, obedience is very important.
Yeah, and I can assure you Elizabeth was uncomfortable.
You have some experience with that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, absolutely. And I like that you said God doesn't call us to the comfortable. And that may or may not mean approaching people at your grocery store. It probably does mean engaging with the people in your immediate circle, with your neighbors, with your coworkers, with your family, and being willing to talk to them about the hope that you have. Doesn't mean every conversation has to be about it, but
I do think you said being willing to talk with them. That is a very, very good thing to add. Just a little aside, tracts can be wonderful aids in evangelism. However, I have seen instances in, say, a drive-through where somebody goes up to somebody, hands them a piece of paper that's like, if you die tonight, where will you go, heaven or hell, and drives off. That's not really helping.
No, and that's not how the early church did it either. Our primary source of authority is the Bible because it's the word of God. But then we look to the early church and say, what did they do? And they really mentored people and made sure they really understood what they were getting into by being a Christian. Like, this is not going to be easy. This is going to be a very difficult life. If you want an easy life, you need to just go be a normal Roman citizen. like, are you sure? Like, they wanted, and they really taught people theology, and they taught them the Jewish history, which of course created some conflict between Paul and Peter. But anyway, like they who Jesus was, like, they really knew what they were getting into. They were discipled. That's such an important part of becoming a Christian. And so you need to be there with them and walk through it with them. And I know there's sometimes a bit of, well, I need to evangelize. I'm supposed to evangelize. I should be doing this, but it feels scary. If there's a way you can reframe that into thinking of, I get to share. Elizabeth wasn't like, oh, I guess I need to go encourage the mother of God. I guess that's something I need to do. It was just so innate in how both she and her unborn son felt. Like, they were just so thrilled about what God was doing. They were just both so overjoyed. It just spewed out of her. She was so happy.
And you know what kind of going back to the angels and Gabriel proclaiming the good news. I bet he was really excited to do that. Like, you know, we were talking about the delivery drivers, and I'm sure he's like, I got to do all this stuff. He's like, yes, this is happening. I've been watching this, seeing things fold out for years, and it's happening. I bet Gabriel was very excited.
Yeah. So if you want to be a proclaimer of hope, think about what brings you the most joy when it comes to your Christian faith. What about God brings you joy? What about the salvation story brings you joy at Christmas time? What brings you the most joy about like the true Christmas message? Think about those things, reflect on those things within yourself. And then that will likely come out as well in the way that you talk to people. And maybe it won't even feel like evangelism. It'll just feel like sharing about something that's so important to you. So just like Elizabeth was a proclaimer of hope to Mary, who really needed it because her life had turned upside down, you can be a proclaimer of hope to a world that has also really been turned upside down, right? Our world's still so different. 2020 started nearly 2 years ago, which is weird, which means we've been doing this crazy mess for almost 2 years. And our world has turned upside down, some ways better, some ways worse. But you can be a proclaimer of hope by allowing that joy that you have in Christ to flow out of you. So stay tuned for next week. We're going to talk about Mary, the bearer of hope. Not next week, 2 weeks from now. Clayla, I'm still getting used to this. 2 weeks from now, we'll be talking about Mary, who is the bearer of hope. And you're going to get to see how you can bear that hope. And really, we're going to focus on how much God loves you. So stay tuned for that next time. Thank you for listening, and God bless.
Apologetic Simplified is a part of Leah Chapman Ministry Productions. To learn more, go to www.leahchapman.org. And thanks for listening.